Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is a bonus episode with Jesse Cole of Fans First Entertainment. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Jesse Cole, we explore a number of interesting topics like questions to ask to have a powerful mirror moment, what are the stories you are creating, and why ideas equal currency. Today's podcast upgrade is 10 small bets school leaders can make today. You can download it at betterleadersbetterschools.com/Jesse-Cole or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an incredible free resource for the better leaders that listen to this podcast. It's the top 10 fundraising ideas for 2018, and that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you'll get the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 when you download it at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. I am joined today with Jesse Cole, and Jesse is the owner of Fans First Entertainment, who owns and operates the Savannah Bananas and the Gastonia Grizzlies. The teams have welcomed more than 1 million fans to their ballparks and have been featured on MSNBC, CNN, and ESPN. Cole's teams have been awarded Organization of the Year, Entrepreneur of the Year, Business of the Year, and have won 3 CPL championships. The Savannah Bananas currently have sold out 32 straight games and have a waiting list in the thousands for tickets. Cole is an in-demand speaker and author of Find Your Yellow Tux, How to Be Successful by Standing Out, released this past January. Cole is also the host of the Business Done Differently podcast. Cole believes to be successful, you need to stand out to be different. He releases blogs and videos daily on findyouryellowtux.com. He is passionate about creating attention, loving your customers more than your product, and loving your employees more than your customers. Cole's mantra is, whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. But with that being said, Jesse, welcome to the show.
Danny, pumped to be on the show with you and have some fun today.
Hey, if you're pumped, then what am I? This is so exciting. So I have, you know, we talked in the pre-chat. I tore through your book, Find Your Yellow Tux, How to Be Successful by Standing Out. And it's just, it's so appropriate and needed in education now. And, you know, I'm not wanting to take a stance like where I feel like I fit in terms of, oh, school as a, you know, a factory model, because that's kind of like a worn out argument. But I'm not saying that schools work incredibly well right now either. And where I want to start is just really this idea of being different. And I think that's what we need to talk about and focus on as school leaders, because yeah, tradition doesn't mean it's working right. Just because we've done it 1,000 years before, it doesn't mean that's the right approach. But school leaders are afraid of this idea of being different. And maybe where we should start is just the genesis story of, like, what was that aha moment that for you established, okay, I need to go all in on this being different idea?
Well, it actually started for me in school. You know, I went to college and to play baseball, and that was my whole focus, playing baseball. I went to a good school, Wofford College, and I tore everything in my shoulder, and that ended my career playing baseball. And I was like, wow, I got to really start focusing on my education now. And I looked at all the majors, all the things that were offered, and they were all so just generic. I was like, what am I going to do? Literally, I thought about business econ, and it said you had to take calculus and macroeconomics. And I was like, why do I need to take calculus to learn about business? And I sat there and I was like, you know, this is what they're trying to give, that general education for everybody. And so I looked and I found this one major called humanities. And I asked my advisors about it. They said, oh, no one's ever taken that. I go, really? They said, no. they said, no one's ever taken that. And I said, well, what does it mean? They're like, well, you have to pretty much develop your own major. You have to create your own study in a capstone project. And I said, I'm intrigued. Can I study anything? They're like, yeah, it has to get approved. So I developed my own major when I was in college, and I studied leadership, and literally leadership in coaching, leadership in government, leadership in history. And I was so passionate, and because I was creating my own path. Every day I was reading my own books. I was studying films and documentaries, and I wasn't told exactly what I had to learn. I was enjoying the process of learning. And at that point, I was like, I want to start creating my own path. And I got offered the opportunity to go coach. And I realized that if I was coaching, I was in the dugout in the background, and I wasn't even a head coach. I was just kind of following the own path. So I finally got an opportunity to be a general manager of the worst performing baseball team in the country in Gastonia, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Literally a team that was losing, you know, $100,000 a year. Only 200 fans were coming to the game, and there was only $300 or less in the bank account. And at that point, that was really like, wow. The only way we can be successful is if we get dramatically different, because you know what? Baseball was not working. And I say it all the time, Danny, what business are you in? But what business are you really in? And I think even with educators, you can think about that. Are you trying to get everyone to go to the middle and be that general, you know, that general success? Or do you really want people to stand out and be different? To do that, you got to create those opportunities. And I had an opportunity in Gastonia with a failing ball club. The only way we could succeed, it was to be dramatically different. And that's what we did.
Yeah, I love that story, you know, and in the book too, just this idea of being different, and it's in the name of your organization in terms of fan first entertainment. Like, this is what we're all about. And it was so refreshing to read, okay, here's somebody who leads baseball teams, but he says, it's crazy. He says that we're not in the baseball business, we're in the entertainment business. And so that's something for the listeners of this show to consider. And you just brought it up, right? Are we truly in the business of education, or is it something different that our school and our community actually provides?
100%. And I talk about that, you know, the mirror moment, and I use it in the opening of the book, but it also works for any business educator. Put yourself in the shoes of the customer or the shoes of the student and say, you know, what frustrates you about this business? What frustrates you about the school system? You know, what are they not getting out of it? People want to learn, you know, they want to learn when they really engaged. And for me, like, my education started literally when I was almost graduating college with my own major. And then now, you know, I read almost 100 books a year because I'm passionate about it. I'm following my own path. And I feel like that's a challenge that most people in businesses, they're supposed to be this exact same way. They're supposed to be, you know, a little bit better, but go the exact different way. And for us, like, yeah, everyone was focused on wins and losses in baseball. We weren't focused on that at all. We were focused on the circus and having grandma beauty pageants and having our players do choreographed dances. And we were focused on all these other crazy things because that created excitement and that created fans that were like, you know what? I was never a baseball fan, but now I am a fan of going to your games. And every business can do this. School systems can do this. And you mentioned, Danny, briefly, fans first. You know, we made our whole business about the fans first experience. It wasn't about the baseball experience. It was about creating that most amazing fans first experience. And we've been having the time of our life. And, you know, I love talking to you and your listeners because I think a lot of times schools get used to that system of this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, this is the way that it's been, the traditions you mentioned. And I think that's the perfect time to say, you know what? We're not going to play it safe. We're going to think different. And you're going to create something that'll have a much better staying power and actually make a bigger impact. And that's what really matters most.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of my favorite things that you did that was different was the whole day. Everything was done backwards from entering the ballpark to promotions, you know, being read backwards, starting at the ninth inning, having the, you know, seventh inning stretch in the third, I think, if I remember correctly. Yep. And then ending with thunderous. And I mean, I wasn't there, but you communicated pretty clearly in the book. I mean, thunderous applause to the most passionate Star Spangled Banner ever performed within the ballpark because you did it backwards.
Yeah, it was performed at 10 o'clock at night and the team had just won a great victory. So obviously everyone's cheering. And I'll tell you, every single person that night went home and said, you won't believe what I saw at the ballpark. This is what happened. And I think about this all, like, what are the stories you're creating? I talk about in the book, think like a reporter. Does anyone care enough to tell your story? So if you do the same things that they're not talking about, oh, the team won, it was a, you know, 4-3 game, but people are leaving like, you won't believe what happened at the ballpark. And that's what we try to create every night.
Right. And that's a great question, right, for the listeners to consider. What are those stories you're creating? What are those moments that are so magical that the kids are telling their parents, you know, the teachers are telling their spouses, et cetera, et cetera. And it's building your brand. It's, you know, sharing the great work that you're doing. And guess what? It probably is not tied to the scores of tests, right, and how the students are performing.
100%.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. podcast for educators and podcast by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. So I'm curious though, Jesse, like they're not all home runs, so to speak, pun intended there. I'm sure like everybody does that with you. I didn't mean to, it just came out.
but I love it.
Yeah, you know, there's some duds too, right? Like wearing your underwear outside of your clothes night or whatever that was. But I don't want to focus on the failures and some of the duds and those things, those moments, you know, where you really learn something. But, you know, can you speak a bit about your process of just generating ideas? Because I really want to push the listeners here. I think it's already pushed them enough to think differently and hear how you approach baseball and how they'll approach education. But I'm curious if you could, yeah, share your idea process and just where you even begin to think differently.
Sure. Well, I learned this great lesson from Mike Vec, and Mike Vec's the son of Bill Vec, who was a famous innovative baseball owner back in the day. He used to give away 12 live lobsters to fans, and I talk about him a lot in the book, and they had an idea box. And literally what Bill Vec told Mike, that if the house is on fire, don't get anything else but the idea box. That is the most important thing. And I learned this at 23 years old, that ideas are currency. And that is the key. You know, ideas can really drive the company, can drive innovation. So we started with our company. We have an idea box. And then what's really cool is we have an idea palooza every month where we pull out all the ideas and we just talk about them. And the crazier the ideas, the better. And it's part of our fabric of our DNA. It's literally what we do, is we talk about these ideas. So yes, a lot fail. And I think sometimes if you're, as a business, you're not failing, then you're not trying enough things. You're not getting crazy enough and you're playing it too safe. So I'm actually scared right now, being honest, because we haven't had a really good failure in a while. You know, our first year in Savannah, you know, we had some failures. I mean, the bananas shirts came in, they were spelled wrong. I mean, we did an underwear promotion again that didn't work well, but you need to be trying things that are a little crazy. And that's the key. So I think a lot of times with our ideas, I challenge our people is like, hey, think different, think wild, think something that people would be talking about, think something that's a little edgy. You know, the great quote by Bill Vec is, I don't break the rules, but I merely test their elasticity. You know, I think we like getting on that edge of breaking some rules. And I know, Danny, it's tough to talk about that with schools, but I'll tell you, you know, if you just get used to the same things over and over again, you're going to get the same results. And I say this all the time, but normal gets normal results.
Yeah, and that's also the definition of insanity, right? Expecting different results when you just continue to do the same thing over and over. So I'm a longtime White Sox fan. Mm-hmm. And the Disco Demolition Night was a little bit, you know, predated me just by a few years. but I told my family, hey, you know, I'm reading this book and the author's talking about Vec and all these crazy things that he'd do. You know, and that's a big part, I think, of White Sox pride, that the home runs and the fireworks that would go off, or the shower, you know, in center field. Yeah. It's a very family-oriented park. You know, there's a lot to do for the kids. And they had these crazy promotions. So I said, what did you remember from that? Did you go to the game? My Uncle John said, I played in a softball league in a park about a mile from Old Comiskey. We could hear the chants, disco sucks, and explosions very clearly. We drank in a cop bar after, heard some stories about how nuts the place was, and the cops had to shut down the main streets. And then my Aunt Donna, so shout out, you know, this is a shout out to my family, of course.
Yeah.
I do remember being very angry because the White Sox had to forfeit the second game of the doubleheader because of the chaos. And then my other aunt, she said, me and your mom were at a disco that night. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a great story. And it shares, I mean, that event was almost 40 years ago, if I remember correctly. And the reality is they're still talking about it. And you think about that in your given job, your given life, you know, how many moments are you really talking about? And there's a great book by Chip and Dan Heath, The Power of Moments. It's just having a few special moments that really create these amazing memories that make all the difference in the world. And for us, we call them fans' first moments. And how can we create those, you know, every night at the ballpark? And as an educator in your school system, how can you create those for the students? And really things that are a little different, a little bizarre, a little wild. That's what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember, you know, the typical pep rally or the typical, you know, celebration at the end of the year. Go right over the top. Have fun. So that's what I love, you bringing up Disco Demolition. I don't think anybody that was in Chicago during that time will always remember that game.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, so let's talk a bit about loving your people, because in your bio, you know, you talked about caring about your people more than your products, and then caring about your employees more than, you know, the people that attend the games. I think that's a challenge, and something I used to always say as a principal, and I say this on the podcast, and not too many people. I think it's good. It's definitely a lightning rod statement, but I say I'm not students first at all. And that's because I truly believe if I love and care for my staff, you know, prioritize them first, they're going to take care of the kids more than I ever could, loving mm-hmm. them, you know. So I'm just curious, like, how does that live out within your organization?
Well, I'll share you something I saw at Disney World recently, and I've been able to know Lee Cockrell, who is the VP of operations for Disney with over 40,000 cast members working under him, which is just crazy. And I spent some time with him and had him on my Business Done Differently show. And he said, we need more teachers and less bosses. And I wanted to see that firsthand. So about 2 months ago, my wife and I, we went to Disney World. We went to the World of Disney, which is basically a big retail store. And we walked in there, we were blown away. I mean, there were just thousands of people shopping. And I was trying to do the numbers in my head. And I was like, this is crazy. And I literally went up to one of the cast members and I said, wow, this is nuts. I go, how many people come in? And they said, oh, a big day, we'll get 37,000 people. And I go, wow. And I said, how many employees are? And they said, cast members. She said, we have about 700 on hand on our big days. So I was sitting there just watching it. And I noticed a person, you know, dressed up in a polo, just observing. And I went over and I found out he was one of the leaders. And I said, this is amazing. He goes, yeah, you know, I go, what is your job? He goes, you see all those cast members in the Disney outfits? He goes, those are my guests. He goes, my job every day is to lead them. I focus on them first to make sure they deliver the best experience for our actual guests. So I think about leaders, you know, really, who are the people that are your guests? And for me, I realized that Fans First is a great name of a company, but our biggest fans are our own people. They're the people that are so proud to be wearing the Bananas gear, so proud of who they work for, that as a leader, I want to put all my focus in them and how do I help them grow and develop. So, you know, literally the biggest thing we do is we empower them. You know, you let them make decisions. You know, the craziest thing is this last year, we allowed them to name their own salary. You know, we allowed them to make decisions and potentially ones that they may learn and they fail with, but that's all about treat them like adults. And one thing I learned more than anything is catch people doing things right. Don't just catch people doing things wrong. Recognition is a part of our everyday culture. We go around the office walking, talking to people and recognizing them. And you build that positivity and optimism, the culture is unstoppable. And they deliver then the best possible experience to our fans and our guests. It starts with your people first. And, you know, we're 3 years in with the Bananas and we've had zero turnover. And I'll tell you, I saw the statistic recently. People under 30 years old are leaving a job every 13 months. Mm. That's how crazy it is for millennials. And we're fortunate to have zero turnover because that's who our real guests are. That's who we focus on. So, you know, love your people more than you love your customers, more than you love your product. You focus there. That's the key. And we've been very fortunate to see that, you know, grow within our organization.
So even like the improv guy from Canada, he's still around working within the organization too, huh?
You like that story, huh? When we were looking for an improv host and we ended up finding a person at the wrong school, but he still wanted to come in. He was from Canada, Jacob McLeod. Now, he was an intern, so he was still in college back then. So he had to go back to college. And great story. He's now in L.A. He's performing. He's acting. He's reached out. He's actually has interest in coming back and being back involved. But this was before the Bananas. This was with our team in Gastonia, and he was just an intern at that point. But, yes, it's been amazing to see. You know, our goal is for our people, they have bigger opportunities to grow. We want them to grow. You know, a lot of people want to keep their best people and do everything. I understand that, but you're not, if you're focused truly on them, you'll want the best opportunities for them. And maybe that is outside of your organization.
And can we talk a bit about, like, I guess, finding talent? Because specifically with that guy, you know, you were advertising for some type of position and he met the idea of what you wanted, right? But didn't necessarily check the box in terms of like, understanding baseball, but that's not a problem for you. And it's funny when I read the book, like how many of your people are asking, you know, is the game always this slow? You know, what's the deal with the outs and all this stuff? Like they're not necessarily baseball people, but they're incredible in their job. And I'm still noodling with this idea because, you know, obviously with like teachers, they got to have certification, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But there's so many other types of roles that will help the organization and serve our kids and communities at a high level that I think we could be more playful and creative with. So I'm just curious if you could, talk a bit about finding talent.
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at it from a school system standpoint, you know, would you rather have someone that has just studied business or someone that's actually, you know, lived through business, that's been an entrepreneur? So we realize we try to hire people that they're best at what they do. So it's been crazy. In the baseball industry, most times you just hire people that want to work in sports. But, you know, in our office right now, we have a full-time videographer who's never – doesn't know anything in regards to sports. He's been a musician. He's a videographer. He's a producer. You know, he's full-time with us. And just 3 days ago, we had one of the top cruise directors in the world just accept the job to be the director of fun of our team in Savannah, literally a cruise director, and has nothing to do with baseball, doesn't it? But it's all about entertainment. When you start bringing in different people from different backgrounds, the creativity, the ideas that foster in your organization is unbelievable. So why would we just hire people that keeps us at our ceiling? You know, I think a great quote from Mark Zuckerberg is he wants to hire people that he would want to work for. And if you just hire people that are below you that just know the things that you know, then you're not growing as organizations. So we're constantly looking for people with expertise. And, you know, the way our company is shifting, we're going more to media and more entertainment. So I'm going to look for more videographers, maybe more podcasters, more content writers, people that would never work in any other sports team, because we realize that that's where we can take the team. And that's something that we don't know that well. So, and we have a talk about the hiring process, Danny. It's very, very in-depth. You know, we hire hard to manage easy. And the reality is, I think most companies, when they're hungry, when they need someone, they find out whatever looks good on paper. Here's a little secret, and I mentioned in the book, we look for future resumes. We don't care necessarily what you've done in the past. We want to know what you want to do in the future. We make them think about their future. And also we have them do a short essay on the fans' first way and how they hit all of our core values. And then finally, we make them send a video cover letter resume, basically just saying why they want to be a part of our team. Those three steps are part of the interview process. And we may get 200, 300 applicants, but only 20 or 30 actually do all three steps. So it's a great way of qualifying their interest, getting them to understand our culture, what we believe in, and also understanding, like, we get to see their personality. And so it's a long process. You know, it took us 2 months to hire our director of events, took us 2 months to hire our director of fun. But that's one of the reasons why we have such little turnovers, because we really hire for culture and we don't just hire for skills.
And then once you have them, how do you continue to keep culture and what you're all about in the forefront so that it really becomes, you know, second nature? I think of another story. You told this when I saw you speak, and it's in the book as well. But basically, an intern disappeared for a few hours. It was raining that day at the ballpark. But long story short, when she arrived, you know, where were you, right? You were exasperated. Like, where could you have been? All this stuff. And she had walked home, an elderly fan of the team, because you guys are all about fans first. And when it rains, you'll have umbrellas and walk people to the cars and this kind of stuff. But she walked them to his residence. And, you know, to get that understanding of what you're all about, you know, I'm really curious how you get people not only to buy in. I mean, you're hiring the people that believe in that, but how they maintain it and keep it in front of everything they do.
This is just a great lesson that I've learned, and great leaders are repeatable, and we are constantly repeating what we stand for, what we believe in, always over and over again. So basically, we're always saying fans first, fans first, fans first. And guys, it's not about revenue, it's about impact. And that was a big shift we made this year. You know, we don't talk about the dollars we're bringing in, we talk about the amount of people we're impacting, the greatest impact for the greatest number. So we're constantly repeating that. So the decision-making process becomes very easy. So when that intern has only been with us for about a month, and she sees a gentleman and she's walking him, you know, obviously, what's the decision? Is it fans first to walk him home? 100%. So it makes all of our decisions easy. And before every game, we talk, guys, let's create fans first moments. Let's share them after the game. And after every game, we share those fans first moments. So we're constantly looking at how we create that amazing experience. So, you know, simplify. I think it's my fifth chapter in the book. Just make things simple. What do you stand for? What's your mission? And just say it over and over and over and over again. And eventually everyone understands it. We can bring a part-time staff member into our team during the summer and just say, hey, this is what we stand for. Fans first. And then we say, what does that mean for you? And they say, take care of people. I go, bingo. And I go, always. And so, you know, I wish there was more of a complex, you know, three-step process, but it's just simplify and repeat it over and over again. And when you find people that believe what you believe in, good people that truly care about other people, like family, it's very easy to deliver that every single day.
Well, the thing is, you know, and thank you so much for unpacking that. You know, we make it harder than maybe it needs to be. So what you're saying there in terms of just repeating it, right, and making sure that people hear it every day and see it every day, I think of Tim Ferriss and a question that I've stolen from him and I've shared with the listeners here and then the clients I coach is just, what would it look like if this were easy? I love that question so much. And I'm listening to on audio right now, The One Thing. And that's something the author talks about there, like that big domino, right? So if we push down this one item, everything else would take care of itself. And we often come up with these convoluted, you know, incredibly complex multi-step plans when it could really be just as easy as finding moments in every single day where you can pull out the, you know, the vision, mission, and values being lived out by your people, congratulate on them, you know, congratulate them for doing it and empower them, like you say, to keep up the good work.
Yeah, 100%. It's what do you stand for? What do you believe in? And how can you put that on a napkin? You know, you don't need much more space than that.
Yeah, the napkin idea is great. Do you guys do anything like that? I guess I'm getting a little nerdy now. I'm thinking of Warby Parker. Are you familiar with them?
Oh, yeah. I wrote about them throughout the book. I love their creativity and how they built the brand. Yes.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm sorry. But, you know, when I open up their glasses, right, and it says, so happy to see you. And then it has their history of the company in just 100 words or less. It's brilliant, you know, in terms of keeping what they're all about in front of everybody's mind. Do you guys have anything like that? I'm just curious within your ballparks.
Yeah, I mean, we try to make everything fun. So like literally when people buy a ticket from us, you know, we have this fun email that goes right back out. Congrats, you just made the best decision of your day, blah, 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 blah. We're running around the stadium, you know, celebrating, jumping Gatorade showers over each other. You know, we're ready for you to go bananas. Then we also have, when they get merchandise, they get that email about going bananas. Then they also have a slip that says, you know, hey, we're so proud to have you go bananas. You know, we have this fun tone about us that's continuing to say over and over again. But, you know, again, going back, the biggest thing we do is just continue to talk about fans first all the time. And you know what's interesting? One of our staff members came in the other day and he said, you know, I was at the dry cleaner and someone said, go bananas. And it said, stay fans first or something. And they literally repeat fans first. They're saying our same things.
Wow.
You know, when we had MSNBC here this past summer and they covered us for 3 days, I kept talking to the producer about how, you know, it's like a circus and a baseball game breaks out. And so she got interviewed by one of the local news crews and she goes, you know, it's like a circus and a baseball game breaks out. And she's using our same language. Yeah. And when you can get your fans, your customers using your same language, that's when you know it really hits home. But the only way to do that is to constantly repeat it and show it in everything you do.
Oh, that's so good. So you're running, you know, 1,000 miles a minute, it seems like, and you're a ball of energy is, you know, something that I've observed. I'm just curious, how do you slow it down and unplug? And do you unplug from work? If so, how do you do it? And if you don't unplug, you know, what's the challenge there?
I think my wife and I would have different answers on this. So she would say I never unplug, but I would say I do find points to unplug. You know, for me, it's routine. You know, I start every morning very consistent. You know, I write a thank you letter. I read, I write, I run, I listen to a podcast. So that sets my tone for the day. And then throughout the day, you know, I'm just prepared and aware of where it's going to go. But I'll be open. Once I get home in the evening, I try to really shut it down. I'm very strong on not looking at email until 8 or 9 a.m., not when I first wake up. I don't look at email, you know, after 6, 7 p.m., you know, I try to really turn that off and focus, you know, on just relaxing and being in the moment. But I mean, Danny, I'm not lying to you. It's a challenge. You know, I'm so excited and so passionate. I love so much the idea of connecting with people and inspiring people to think differently that every opportunity I can do that, I want to do that. And the opportunity to teach our people and help our people grow. So it's still a balance. You know, I think the reality is I love Saturdays and Sundays because the world may not be working, but then what do I want to do? I want to read. I want to learn more. I want to set my plans for the week. So because whenever other people are not working, I want to get ahead.
Yeah.
So I think it's a balance all entrepreneurs face. And it's a challenge that I'm really going to have to try to figure out, especially with, you know, my wife and I are expecting in 2 months. And that work-life balance, I know it scares a lot of entrepreneurs. And so you really have to, if I'm being disciplined in my work life, I need to be disciplined in my home life. And that's going to be something I hope I can figure out.
School leadership is hard work. Why should funding student-centered programs be difficult too? If you're stressed about your budget and where you'll find some extra cash to run a great program for kids, I have a solution for you. Introducing the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2018. In this guide, you will find the best school fundraising ideas available in 2018. My favorite company described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending brings hassle-free fundraising to schools through custom sticker vending machines installed in your school. The best part You do absolutely no work. The School Spirit vending team installs, maintains, and shares the revenue collected with the school. You can learn more about School Spirit Vending and the other magnificent companies mentioned in the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Go there now, download the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com. You know, I'd like to explore how you embrace failure and think of those as learning moments. And I remember a story from the book when, you know, you, I don't know if they were life size, but you had basically gigantic tickets printed out. They probably were in the shape of bananas, not 100% sure on that one. And it's an example of a great idea. I guess your fans came in, you know, begrudgingly, so to speak, because they were, whoa, we got to, you know, carry these all around and get in the park and that kind of thing. How do you learn from failure? How do you approach it? Because I think so many schools steeped in tradition, we're afraid of failure, right? And we're afraid of being different. So yeah, how do you approach failure?
A great lesson I learned was to look at failure as discovery and to start looking at failure as a way to measure, you know, your success or your inability to be successful. When you look at it as discovery, and as a learning experience, it changes it dramatically for us. So, you know, I talk about this in the book, but it's about making small bets. And I think every day you should be making small bets because you learn from it. And the reality is it's so easy to not have failures, just to really play it safe, do it the exact same thing, but you're not going to grow. So my approach is I want to see things that can potentially fail. And I want our people to experience it. I think most leaders, what they do is they try to jump in and save the day. And I've done this for the first 8 or 9 years growing these teams. There may be decisions that I think, you know what, that's not the best decision, but I want them to experience it, see it, feel it, because I know once they do that, they'll learn so much from it, it'll never happen again. And so I try to embrace that in the sense, and I tell our people, if we're not getting some criticism, if we're not, you know, failing to connect with some people, then we're playing it way too safe. And so I understand the complexity with the school system. You know, they're governed, there's a lot of issues and challenges to try to break free of the normalcy. But, you know, if they're not trying new things, I'll tell you, everything is evolving and the school system is going to be disrupted. And as I'm getting ready to have a kid, I'm going to think of how can my kid get the best unique education? And I don't know if it's going to be the same way it was for me back 30 years ago, 20, 30 years ago.
So Tony Robbins is famous for saying that quality questions create a quality life. Successful people ask better questions and as a result, they get better answers. What's one question you should have asked more frequently as a novice leader?
Ooh, love that. Love that. You know, I think back as I would have loved to known more on the path to success. So the questions I would have asked, and I think it'd be more of, I would have asked more questions, Danny. This is where I'm going to go with this. I think in the beginning, I was just learning on my own. A great lesson from Brian Chesky from Airbnb. He goes to the source. And what he means by he tries to, like, when he wants to learn about hospitality, he goes to the Cornell Hospitality School and asks them the best questions. When he wants to learn about HR, he goes to the sports agents because they have to hire the best athletes to be successful. I would have immediately gone to the source of who is the best. I would have spent more time with Disney asking, how do you create the best possible experience instead of just learn it on my own? You know, I would have gone to the best hiring people to learn about how do you bring on the best talent? You know, I would have learned from the tech people. So I think to ask what question would be a challenge, but what I would do is I would have spent more time going to the source like Brian Chesky and learning from the best at the best and asking them, how do they do it?
And concerning leadership, what have you changed your mind about in the last few years?
It's not about you. It's about others. I think that's a big thing. As you're growing as a leader, most people are focused on growing their own success and building their own brand and building, you know, everything up for them. And when you change that and you start focusing on others, that's when you become a real leader. And real leaders serve. So what are they doing every day to help your people grow, develop, and be better people? And that has been the biggest thing that I've seen change as a leadership principle for myself.
All right. Well, just wrapping up with two last questions here. What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
What a question on all school marquees. The key is, do I want to stay true? Staying true to myself, I would be different, stand out, find your purpose. But the other balance I'm going to go with is be patient in what you want for yourself and be impatient in how much you give to others.
Love that. All right. Well, Jesse, this is the last question. It's quite a doozy. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. So how would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
I would make my school the most entertaining school out there. I believe every business is in the entertainment business. And when you entertain people, you bring out their imagination, you bring out their creativity. So how I would build this school, it wouldn't be set up like typical classrooms. It would be set interactive. I mean, you'd be a part of improv, theater, there'd be music. It would be all encompassing way to bring out the creativity of people. So basically, I want students to come to school feeling like they're going to be a part of a show. They're not just going to watch a show. They're going to be a part of the show. And then at the end, the students, I would hope, are, wow, I'm excited. I'm tired. I went through everything. And so how I build that, I have no clue, Danny. But what I'm telling you, I would probably have improv, theater, magicians, business people that are fun, that are crazy, people in yellow tuxedos doing things. I don't know. I believe people learn when they're having fun, when they're enjoying themselves, and it's not when they're forced to learn. And I think that's the key. Create an environment where people are so excited to go and have fun, then you can have a school that's really going to take off.
Well, Jesse, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Just keep standing out, keep thinking different. And as far as reaching out to me, findyouryellowtux.com. And I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, Jesse at findyouryellowtux. And you made that great point about asking questions. I always suggest to people, don't be afraid to reach out and ask a question. I wish I did it more, but the more you ask questions, the more you learn. So feel free to reach out, and I'll help in any way.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Jesse. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com. Type Jesse in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Jesse, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you so much, Danny, for leading and what you're doing, man.
Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.